Broadcasting from Dublin, Ireland, you're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts show.
This is Mike Dolce.
Ian McCall. James Little Evil Pulver.
The Crippler Chris Leaving.
Is your IFA with Johnny Hinder.
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
Back in your headsets, Talking Brawls Extra is back. Only a few hours after releasing our regular podcast, PT Carroll and myself caught up with Mr. Mark Henry, coach to Eddie Alvarez, and Jason Perillo, who is head coach of Chrissy Cyborg and Michael Bisping, to talk a lot about that fight at UFC 204. Obviously, Mark came and joined us to talk about the press conference and UFC 205. Eddie and a lot of his fighters, obviously, upcoming fight on that fight card in New York on the 12th of November. But a late opportunity came up last night to speak with Eddie Alvarez. So, obviously, I wasn't going to turn it down. So I spoke with Eddie to talk about this upcoming fight against Conor McGregor at UFC 205 in New York. So, yeah, let's get straight to it. Obviously, do check out the show from yesterday and do download and subscribe on iTunes. Obviously, this will be up on severemma.com as well. You can catch us on Twitter at severemma, at Talking Brawls, at Niall McGrath 4, and at PT Carroll. So do check it out. Big thanks to Eddie for stopping by late last night. Much appreciated. And we'll catch you next week on the show. Myself and PT will be over in Manchester to cover UFC 204. So hope you enjoyed the interview. Talk to you soon.
This is Eddie Alvarez, and you're listening to Talking Brawl.
He defends his world lightweight title at UFC 205 in New York, Madison Square Garden, on November the 12th. My next guest is the world UFC lightweight champion. That is Mr. Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez, how are you, my friend? I believe you've just after inhaled some fish tacos. What's happening this evening, man? How are you?
Excellent, man. Just got done a workout with Mark Henry over at Henzo Gracie's, and still hanging out here in New York doing some press. I leave tomorrow, but enjoying myself, having a good time with this press conference.
Definitely. Yeah, that's one thing I noticed yesterday, Eddie. You seem to really enjoy yourself. I think a lot of the Irish crowd, and I'll probably get a bit of stick for saying this, but a lot of them were saying you look scared. But I thought you really, you relished it, you enjoyed it, you lapped it up. How did you feel yesterday? Did you feel as relaxed as you looked?
Oh, hell yeah, man. Scared is funny when I hear people say it. Oh, scared, it's funny to me. For me, like, people look like the fears are the spectacles. But for me, when I'm in scenes like that where press conferences and everybody's watching, I'm like more of a spectator. I just like watching everything that's going on. I think it's very entertaining for me.
Do you feel as though, you know, we look at Jose Aldo, what happened in the past, you know, the world media tour with Conor, and Conor really was underneath his skin before the fight even happened. He looked a beaten man because of the psychological warfare. How important is that to stay cool and calm in situations like that?
I think being consistent in general and being yourself more than anything. I think when you bring anger and all these emotions to especially a press conference, I don't know. I think it's not who you are. Like, it's not who I am anyway. I'm a pretty, I have a big sense of humor. I can tell you firsthand that I think Conor McGregor and the things he says are actually funny.
Yeah.
And I have no problem laughing at him. I'm not going to get angry. Funny is funny. You know, you got to laugh. So I have no problem laughing. I have no problem saying things when I'm being honest and yelling them and being emotional. I just think being myself up there is most important.
Eddie, you know, we know the problems you had. You obviously getting out of your Bellator contract back in the day, a number of years ago. Could you have imagined this day to come? You know, we just spoke a little bit off air there that, you know, this is history. This is going to be the biggest fight card of all time. You really seem to be lapping everything up at the moment and really enjoying it.
I have. I thought about all this. This was all thought about and predetermined in my own mind years ago. So this is just something that I worked hard on, and we're all watching it manifest now. But I can't say that, you know, I can predict things and things like that, but there'd be plenty of people that can talk to you who are in my life, you know, who would tell you that, hey, you said this would happen. And it's just something I thought about over and over, and I took action toward, and now we're watching it all manifest now.
Yeah, well, I spoke to you, I think it was before the Pettis fight, and you told me this was going to happen. So, yeah, you're certainly on the ball. Speak to me about what happened with the Khabib situation. You know, Dana came out and said the contract expired. Was your eye always on Conor McGregor? It seemed to be that way. I listened back to the Ariel interview that you did, the fantastic piece with Ariel walking through the streets of Kensington.
Yeah. I mean, Conor was a target. The reason why Conor's a target is because every time I beat someone, like a fit fighter, like a Rafael Dos Anjos or Gilbert Melendez, who's actually a legend in the sport and has proven over years to be the best, I get asked about Conor McGregor, and it's kind of annoying. You know, after a while, I start being honest with people and telling them what I think. So, I mean, that's how this fight has come about. And I was being honest with the media, saying that I literally fought the best guys in the world back to back to back, and I could use a fight that was stylistically better for me. And I'm saying that, being completely honest with myself and the fans, that I've taken on the best in the world, that the style matchups I went against maybe weren't the best for me, and I want it an easier way, and I think Conor would be that guy.
Conor mentioned, you know, the money aspect of it yesterday. Is this a financial game changer for you and your family?
Hell yeah. hell yeah, I'm a prize fighter. This will be the biggest prize to date, but here's the thing. He wants my belt. He says beg. He wants my belt. My money's already my money. It's already cash. There ain't nothing he's gonna do about that. It's my money. The belt, he ain't sniffing at this belt. He ain't got a shot at this belt. So I'm getting what I want at the end of the day. He will not get what he wants.
Eddie, you spent a little bit of time. I was over at your debut. I covered the fight as well against Donald Cerrone. And I believe you spent a little bit of time on that 178 card warming up with Conor, etc. How did that all go? Was there any sort of relationship?
No relationship. He got ready, I got ready. We both went out. I remember him bringing in that poor sap, some training guy. They padded him up real well. And Conor just beat the shit out of him for like 3 hours. I thought it was the funniest shit I ever seen. He brought some guy in the back, and they padded him up with all kinds of pads. And Conor just beat the living shit out of this guy. I felt bad for him.
Jesus, was that in the back before the fight or on fight night?
Yeah. I think it was that guy Artem. I said, man, what a job to have. You get this guy feeling good about himself before he goes out.
Shouldn't be laughing at that one, but yeah. People don't know, and we mentioned it before, I think a couple of years ago as well, that you have, and I think you've done this on purpose, you've kept it separate, that you're Irish Puerto Rican. Is that something you want to just keep away till this fight's over?
The thing is, I'm Irish and I'm proud of what I am. But the truth is, growing up in Kensington, Kensington was a pure Irish neighborhood when I was about between 8 and 10 years old. And in that neighborhood, all the Irish kids would call me Spick they would basically call me Spick when I was younger. And then when the neighborhood turned Puerto Rican, all the Puerto Ricans would call me White Boy. So I was never
stuck in the middle. You didn't know what to do.
I was never truly accepted by either race. So my allegiance is to America.
Yeah.
I'm American. I'm of Puerto Rican and Irish descent, and I'm proud of that. But I go out there and I fight, and I fight for my country. I fight for my family, my friends, and I don't think there's really – I don't need to put a country to it. If I would put a country to it, I'd put America because it's where I live.
Does that frustrate you? We even heard yesterday you got a few boos and stuff, and you know, Ian McCall, as a guy who said it to me in the past, that he'd really like to see Americans really get behind their own fighters in the UFC.
Americans like stuff that's different. Connor has a cool accent. And Americans like that shit, man. If I had a neat accent, I think I would go over real well here, but I don't. I'm from America. Americans want a character. They want something different.
Have you noticed the way people have treated you because you're world champion now? Has it been a big difference from the way people used to treat you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have to keep your guard up more?
Yeah, but I've learned the good thing is I became champion at a time where I've learned all these lessons already. So I don't need to learn on the fly, and I don't need to make the mistakes that I've already made because I made them already. So I became champion at the right time in my life where I understand to keep a small circle. I understand to, you know, do the right things with your money. I made a lot of mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
So I'm mature not only in my career where I'm a champion, but I'm mature mentally and emotionally as well.
Let's talk about, you've obviously moved up home. You were down in Florida. You're under Mark Henry now for your last number of fights. You know, Mark, for me, you know, Mark's a good friend of the show. We've spoken to Mark numerous amount of occasions on the show here. You know, he's one of the most underrated coaches in the world for me, and I think he's getting the recognition now that he deserves. What have been the crucial adjustments that Mark has made for your skill set, Eddie?
I've been pretty reckless in the past, and I think if I wasn't back with Mark Henry, and he's such a fine attention to detail, that I would have been looking up at the lights. Because I've been managing to win fights, but I've been taking a lot of damage in the midst of winning them. And I think I would have got to a point where a guy like Rafael Dos Anjos, if I didn't fix the defensive mistakes or pay attention to detail, that guy could have very well put me away because I was going into more dangerous fights and not correcting the mistakes I was making. So Mark's been monumental in correcting them mistakes, paying attention to detail, and keeping me on my toes and keeping me sharp and improving. So I think that's the main thing that's done for me.
Obviously, you've moved back home as well. And are you commuting to New Jersey at the moment? What's the situation there?
Yeah, I drive a lot, but it's worth the drive. In the morning, I just grab my cup of coffee. I get in the car, and sometimes I drive, sometimes I drive an hour and 20 minutes. But
wow.
It gets me in the state. I get my coffee. I get the training. I get ready, and I have a drive back home to reset before I get into the house with my four kids.
There was a few words said at the press conference last night. You know, there was I think it was fuck Mark Henry, then fuck John Kavanaugh. I believe I was speaking to Mark earlier on this evening that a handshake has been made. Is that unsettling for you as a fighter, or is that another motivational aspect for you to want to kick Connor's ass and vice versa? How do you feel about that whole situation? That's a subplot, effectively, is what a lot of people were calling it.
For sure, because when you go out there, I say this all the time, you can only fight with the amount of spirit that you love the people that are behind you. If you don't have an emotional connection and love the people that are in your corner and behind you, then you'll only fight with a certain amount of spirit. But, like, you put two dogs in a pit and that dog loves its owner, they'll exhaust themselves to the death. So I think it's important to have a guy on your side that's not just your coach and trainer, but your friend, and you have that emotional connection with him. And when you get that, when you have that, you'll fight death. You literally will exhaust yourself and be willing to die inside that cage. And that's the mentality you have to have and the spirit you have to fight with at this level.
How did, you know, there was obviously, you know, a few back and forth said, how did that make you feel? Did you know, what did you think of the comments that John Kavanagh made about Frankie Edgar? What were your thoughts on some of the things, obviously Frankie being your teammate?
I don't think coaches should speak on fighters, on other fighters. And I don't think particularly fighters should speak on coaches. I think it's disrespectful. You know, I really do. It's not in my character to speak lowly of John Kavanagh. I respect what he's done and what he's doing. I don't think there's a place. I think coaches should get their due respect, and so should fighters. And nobody should cross them lines. For Conor to say, you know, fuck Mark Henry, in the middle of me singing my coach's praises, I think it was disrespectful. And
in the heat of the moment, you fired back. That's obviously what happened.
Yeah, I'm reacting yeah. to what's being said. So it's important to let him know that. And it's going to be like that. It's not just going to be like that at press conferences. It's going to be like that in the fight, and that's where he's not going to be able to deal with it. When his intensity gets matched, he's going to fold. And I've folded and drowned it guys with better spirit, who fought with better spirit and better gas tanks than him, who were much better fighters than me. I've done it time and time again.
Do you think Conor's faced someone as diverse as you? Obviously, you know, we've seen against Anthony Pettis. We've seen the fight against Gil Melendez. We see the fight against RDA. You can mix it up in many different ways. You can make it a grindy, gritty fight. You can come back and, as you said, you know, bring out the dog in you. Do you think he's faced anyone in his UFC tenure so far that's as well-rounded and has a diverse skill set as you do?
No, not even close. I mean, look, he's single-handedly picked the best style matchups for himself all throughout his reign in the UFC. If you look carefully and you're a fighter, you understand that this guy hasn't put himself against a guy who can threaten him on the ground. The only one he's done that with is Chad Mendes on late notice because he had to. Other than that, he's fought all stand-up fighters who don't do ground attacks at all, and they don't enjoy or like to do ground attacks. So he got to be able to be himself and not have to adjust ever to anybody else's strengths. Everybody he's fought played into his strengths.
Frankie Edgar said today on a Sirius XM with Luke Thomas that you could put Conor down, you know, with ease on the deck and control him on the deck if you want to do that. He said he thinks you're a far better wrestler than Chad Mendes.
Yeah, it's not just that. I'll do whatever the fuck I want in any aspect against him. The opponents he's fought allowed him to look great. That's the issue. That's what these WWF fans who follow him don't see. They see a guy who's fighting for playing to his strengths, so he can do what he wants and be good at it. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. If I want to stand, I'll stand. He don't move his head. He gets hit a ton. Chad Mendes has a tiny little reach and was popping him all over the place with overhand rights and left hooks before he took him down. His defense is atrocious. His offense is good. He's offensively a good fighter when it comes to boxing and things. But his defense is fucking terrible.
Why do you think people play into his hands, Eddie? Is it the mind games? You know, they're too G'd up before the fight and they lose focus when they're in the octagon. What is it? Can you pinpoint it?
I think that stylistically, he's better, much better than the guys he's fighting when it comes to stand-up. He understands boxing, which a lot of these MMA guys don't. They don't understand boxing at a, not even an amateur level. They don't understand it. And he understands boxing well. He understands distance well, and he has good. His biggest attribute is that he has a good reactionary time. He's fast and has good timing. But against the opponents he's been against, and pound, like they're fighting a stand-up fight, and so they're playing into his strengths, like I'm saying. So
yeah.
he's able to win them and win them easily. But guy, you know, a guy like me, I can go wherever. I can kick, I can punch, I can take down, I can submit, and I can do it all fucking night.
Do you think, and you know, Mark would agree with this as well, your coach, and you know, a lot of people, Conor is one of the best strikers in the world in mixed martial arts. Have you ever faced a guy with as good a stand up as Conor? Do you believe?
Yeah. I believe I think RDA has better stand up than Conor. I think who else? Cowboy Cerrone has better stand up than Conor. God, if I go back to Dream and other promotions I fought on,
yeah.
Plenty of guys have better stand up. He's a boxer with a left hand. He has a left hand. That's it.
He has a fucking left hand.
That's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a left hand. We're dealing with a left hand counter. A left hand that comes at the same time your punch comes, and he also throws the left hand at the end of your right hand. You're dealing with three things.
Eddie, you say, you know, a quote you use throughout your life is, you find out what everyone else is doing, and you do the opposite, and you do what they're not doing. Have you worked out what Conor's not doing at the moment, and have you implemented that?
Yeah, I've been doing what he's not doing for a long time. fighting the best in the world consistently and been on top for 10 years, not just a couple years, been on top for 10 years fighting the best guys in the world. That's what I'm doing.
You're a guy who visualizes a lot as well. What do you see on November 12th in Madison Square Garden?
I think I hit him with a hard, clean fucking shot. He goes down and I submit him. I could see the fight going exactly the way the night fight went, but a lot earlier. But not second round. I'm thinking first round, clipping him good and hard, him falling to the canvas and never coming back up, sinking a choke. I could see the fight going exactly the way the Nate fight went. Almost picture perfect. He gets whatever left hook you throw. I can close my eyes in his big ass head.
I think you'll need security out of the arena. It won't be a happy bunch if that happens. Listen, it's a fight, Eddie, I can't wait for. I think it's one of the best fights of the year. The biggest UFC card of all time. Really looking forward to it, and I hope to see you over there, and I really, really do appreciate the time. I know you're a busy man with all the media commitments now that you're a champ. Do appreciate it, my friend.
No problem, bro. Thank you, guys.
The wait is finally over. This monumental moment is now upon us.
The UFC has finally gotten their wish. The Octagon is headed to the Big Apple.
This really is a celebration of many years of campaigning and an opportunity for UFC athletes to stand side by side the memory of so many greats.
Pound for pound, round for round, king I stand, legend for legend, it's on the line, God and man, whoever can get it, come on, cause I'm ready, I'll lay you all down, that's the same time they let me.
This New York card is already shaping up to be just one of the best cards in UFC history.
Tyron Woodley. Steven Thompson, ladies and gentlemen.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Carolina Bobotovi.
Eddie Alvarez. Conor McGregor.
Pound for pound, round for round, steroids. still claiming champion. Yeah. Pound for pound, pound for pound, still claiming champion. Yeah. Still claiming champion. Yeah. Still claiming champion. Yeah. Still claiming champion. Yeah.